Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. How we doing, everybody? Good morning, friends, yinzers, countrymen. I am Chris Mack. He is Mark Cabali. This is Cabali and Mack, the first show of 2026, and maybe the last show of the 2025 regular season, because the Steelers play the Ravens Sunday night. Hate the fact that it's Sunday night, but whatever. The Steelers play the Ravens on Sunday night. Down at Heinz Field, I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium, the AFC North Championship game, as Mike Tomlin has called it. Looks like Trent Jordan-Watt will be back on the field for that game. He's supposed to talk later today. We'll get into that. Lamar Jackson going to be back. Okay. Is that good or bad for Steelers fans? And can the Steelers, regardless of all that, manage to score, I don't know, a touchdown this week, which they couldn't do in Cleveland last weekend? We'll talk about all of it. We'll give yins our picks for the final weekend of the year, which Kaboom is behind by a solid six games in the picks competition, which means he's going to have to dye his head and facial hair.
We got playoffs. We got playoffs.
We do have playoffs, yeah. That's not a lot of games, though. You got ground to make up here, man.
Yeah, because you cheat.
I don't cheat. I do math better than you. And so all of that today on the show, plus Jeremy Kahn, who joined us a couple weeks ago when the Steelers played the Ravens, from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. He'll tell us whether he thinks things are ready to burn to the ground down there as well, because we came into the week thinking, man, it could be a mess for whichever team loses this thing, because not only is their season over, but all kinds of unrest with quarterbacks and head coaches, and I don't know about all that in either location, but I guess everything's a possibility. Let's start by thanking our good friends, the Dan Heck team, for supporting the show. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to help you do it. HeckTeamHomes.com, H-A-E-C-K, HeckTeamHomes.com. They'll make the process as simple as possible for you, because nobody likes moving or buying and selling a home and everything that comes with it. They help take all that stress off your plate. Trust the Dan Heck team. Go look at the listings right now if you want. HeckTeamHomes.com. H-A-E-C-K. HeckTeamHomes.com. All right, Kaboom. Let's start with this. TJ Watt, supposed to talk to the media later today. Practice moved from the Southside facility to Heinz Field.
Yeah.
Any reason for that, first of all, and second of all,
any
light will be shed on the TJ situation today?
Well, I just spent like 40 minutes shoveling my driveway.
Right.
So there's some snow out there. By the way, I need one of those snow blower things. Not snow blower. I want one of those snow blower shovels. You ever see those things?
Yeah, one of the shovels you just push along and it just pushes.
They work?
I don't know.
I need one of those. But what I'm saying is they practice indoors the first 2 days of practice. They did this in Miami too, when they played Miami too, I think. Then they went down there on the Friday. It might have been on a Saturday for the Miami one, just to, so they can get on the actual grass and have some outside weather. That's all it is. They can't practice on their indoor facility because the field is covered in snow. And it's hard. So that's why.
You said they can't practice at the indoor facility because the field's covered in snow. They can't practice outside.
Yeah, they don't want to practice indoors for 3 days in a row.
Gotcha.
They don't even want to practice in there 1 day in a row, but they obviously have to at this time of the year. So they're going to make the old road trip, move practice back a little bit. Like you said, Trent Jordan is, I guess, not unofficially scheduled to talk, but you know how that stuff works. I'm sure it's not going to be revealing.
Yeah, I mean.
I'm sure it's going to be, I'm trying to get out there. It was scary situation. I'm putting that stuff behind me. I just worried about the weather. I'm worried about the weather. I'm looking at Corey Steelers fan. Bam. Worried about the game. I don't think he's going to say, well, this is what happened. This guy just shoved the needle. No, I don't think it's going to be anything like that.
And to be honest, I don't want to say I don't care. Like, I am interested in if we ever get the greater details of that story, that'll be fine in hindsight. But, like, I'm more worried about whether he's playing Sunday night and how much he's playing more than I am how it happened in the first place. Like, so yeah. It happened. Okay, it's done. Now, how much time is he actually going to spend on the field on Sunday night?
Yeah, who knows? I mean, he's missed a month, right? So this could be a good test for him. It's not like they put on pads or anything this time of the year. They finally put the helmet on yesterday. They don't do any helmets on Wednesday. So he still doesn't know. He's not going to know until he gets out there on Sunday night and starts running around getting hit, probably to determine how well he feels. I mean, I could see him going in there and just saying, man, I'm winded. I can't play all these snaps. Or maybe he'll be 100% fine. I think you have to go through early in that game he's going to have to determine whether or not how ready he can play and how many snaps he can take. That's for sure.
I mean, look, they are lucky enough to be deep at the edge rusher position, right? With Highsmith and Herbig and Sawyer, obviously. But if you could get TJ back for even like 30, 35 snaps, that would be huge because like it or not, even though he doesn't have the sack numbers this year, he's still TJ Watt. It's still something the opposition has to plan and prepare for and maybe slide protections toward and chip guys and all that. But also, I mean, as much as I like Nick Herbig, Watt and Highsmith are both very good against the run. And you get Herbig in there, maybe not quite as good against the run. So, and that's, I have to believe what the Ravens want to do on Sunday night is run the football.
Really? I would have never guessed that.
Well, hey, it's the Ravens. Let's not put it past the Baltimore Ravens offensive game planners to decide to do something totally stupid and forget Derrick Henry exists. They've done it before.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that they learned from their past mistakes, which was just like 2 weeks ago. So you would think that that would be the case. I mean, the problem with TJ, I would think, is he tried to push it too much, and he's just not quite ready. I can't see him tapping out saying, you know, I can only play third downs. I mean, something's going to have to be structurally in place of snap counts, pitch count. Then if you have to adjust on the fly. But definitely you want him. The only thing I worry about is I didn't really look up these numbers, and I probably should have, is Highsmith's numbers – because he's been unbelievable the past month, right?
Yeah.
Does he feel like he...
Even though you wanted to trade him.
Yeah. No, that's Arthur Smith's my college roommate or high school roommate. I can't remember. I wonder if he's just naturally takes the foot off the gas a little bit. Not obviously nothing that he would say, well, I got to defer to TJ, but I don't think his numbers are as... Well, they weren't the past month. He's been unbelievable. He could be player of the month. In December, defensively, that's how well he played. I just hope that he doesn't feel that he needs to take a backseat to anybody just because of what comes back.
Yeah, I wouldn't suspect that, honestly. I mean,
not on purpose, subconsciously,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I wouldn't suspect that. But, I mean, you're right. I guess it's worth considering. I think it's more just – getting Watt out there, like I said, creates an extra headache for the opposing offensive line and their blocking scheme and everything. Watt not out there, maybe a little bit less of a headache. You still got to account for Highsmith. Herbig, obviously, I'm still a huge fan of. And Jack Sawyer has come along really, really well.
That's why you wanted to trade Highsmith. I understand.
Right, exactly. The other thing on that side of the ball is – and this is like a running joke now inside the Steelers coaching staff or their facility or whatever, is Derek Harmon does make a difference. We can argue about whether he's the simple easy button for stopping the opposing run game or not. Maybe it's not that simple, but when Derek Harmon has been in games, teams have not run the ball well, and Derek Harmon is healthy and will be playing on Sunday night. I'm not saying that instantly takes Derrick Henry out of the game, but we've seen Derek Harmon positively impact.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Back the Steelers run defense in a large way this year when he's in the lineup. If they are able to slow down Henry, somewhat neutralize him, that does kind of flip this game on its ear and give the Steelers, I think, just a little bit more of a chance. Yeah. Even though I still don't know how they score 17 points, but that's a separate conversation. Harmon has been key to them slowing down opposing run games.
Yeah, I'm just wondering what you think slowing down is. Is slowing down not two Bills? Is slowing down not four touchdowns?
It's all relative, right?
If you can get him for 17 for 85, I'd probably sign up for that right now, right?
Absolutely. If you can keep him under 100, I'll be okay.
And some of those big games are what kills you, you know? And I was talking to, of all people, Malik Harrison the other day, who was teammates with him in Baltimore last year. Mm-hmm. Obviously a bruising downhill runner. He says the only thing you really got to worry about with Derrick Henry, I mean, you have to play your gaps and know your responsibilities. But he said, got to watch out for that stiff arm. And I think that might be in the back of
Minka about that.
I mean, honestly, if the inside linebacker who's 250 like Harrison says that, what are the corners and, you know, some of the safeties are thinking right there? So that's what turns those small gains into large gains. I really do have a good feeling, though, when it comes to them stopping the runner. Put it this way, not having the run be just like a year ago in Baltimore where it was just three Bills and it was over, you know. They were just running up and down the field on them. I think Lamar's going to have to make some plays here for them to win this game. Plays with his
arm.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what he looks like, too, after a little bit of time off. And whether, I mean, he hasn't looked really at all this year, maybe in very few faint glimpses, like MVP-level Lamar Jackson. And if he plays as Lamar Jackson traditionally does against the Steelers, not very good, then that's another reason you would believe the Steelers have a chance. Either way, I think this is your typical low-scoring AFC North-style game where it's kind of like a race to 20. Like that's what it feels like anyway, because the Steelers' offense, I have no confidence in them being able to score more than a touchdown to maximum, given the way they looked last week without DK Metcalf in the lineup. And now you take Darnell out as well.
Well, you know, the great Aaron Rodgers said, when have I ever had two stinkers in a row?
That's fair. Rodgers could play well and still have, and the game plan could still not involve getting the ball to anybody who can actually catch it and do something with it.
I think somebody would say, I mean, what would it be, the Packers and Chargers? Were they back-to-back?
What are you talking about?
This past year, I think he had two stinkers, didn't he?
The Chargers was definitely a stinker. Were the Packers and Chargers back-to-back? I don't know. Now you're making
it was Packers. It was Bengals and Chargers. He only threw for, what, $100.5 against the Cincinnati, but they were beat the living crap out of them. So maybe maybe he's right. I mean,
he didn't have to throw a lot in that second Bengals game, if I remember correctly. So he didn't have to have a huge day.
Well, put it this way. The guy's smart enough to know that he had three receptions for negative 18 yards when he caught that ball in, what, Baltimore? I think he knows how many stinkers he had back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean,
it's something that would be in his mind. He would know.
my concern is not necessarily whether Rodgers is going to have another terrible game. I don't think he will. Like I said, it's more about what he has available to work with. And without DK, look, here's a big difference, though, that I think you pointed out the other day that I think is worth bringing up again. The Ravens defense is not nearly as good as the Browns defense. Browns defense is actually really good. And so this will not be as, shouldn't be as difficult a chore scoring points against Baltimore as it was against Cleveland. Now, all that being said, you're still without DK Metcalf. You're still without Darnell Washington. You still haven't shown that you know how to utilize Pat Freiermuth at all on a consistent basis. You got away from Kenny Gainwell in the pass game too much last week. There's a number of things that need to be fixed. Do I trust that Aaron Rodgers can have a good enough game to fix all of that and score enough? Like I said, probably a race to 20 to beat the Ravens Sunday night without DK Metcalf available. I don't know, because I don't have a ton of confidence in Thielen, Miller, Valdez, Scantling, Roman Wilson as your receiving core.
But now, like you said, they're going against guys like Marlon Humphrey, guys like Nate Wiggins. I mean, Kyle Hamilton's in the slot a lot. Their safeties, I mean, Malachi Starks. I mean, it's not like
their secondary. I don't think secondary is necessarily their biggest weakness, right?
Like, what I'm saying is these receivers have a better chance of getting open against these guys than, say, you know, Denzel Ward.
Yeah,
and no, with Miles Garrett pressuring you and some of those guys.
And I think there's a good chance they probably see more zone than man without getting down too far down into the nitty gritty of things. Like,
you think so? I mean, if I'm watching that tape, dude, I'm going 9 in a box, man across the board, and say, let's see if you can beat us. Thielen, Scantling, Miller.
But can the Ravens afford to do that with their front seven? Because their front seven has been crap this year.
Maybe he has a little bit more time, but he still throws the ball in 2.5 against the Baltimore, I think. I mean, it's not like he's going to want to hold the ball on. Maybe some of those big shots. I don't know. He's going to be curious. I mean, they have, and I asked Calvin Austin, who looks like he's going to play, which should be a significant.
Okay, that's a help.
I mean, right now, they're all putting it up. They all knows what this means. So even if they're not 100%, they're going, you know. That's where they're at right now. So Calvin Austin, he might be on a pitch count, but he's significantly better than those other three. I've always been a Calvin Austin fan, so he could spread the field. I mean, he's been the de facto number wide receiver one before last year when Pickens was out for a while. So yeah, he's been in that role. I know, but he's been in that role. So that could help as well. I mean.
Okay, maybe.
I don't know. I think what else happens is Sam Moll is back, man. That helps kicking Spencer Anderson into that Darnell Washington role. So that should help too.
That's a huge help. I think that needs to be the focus for the Steelers offense. Even when the Ravens decide to go heavy on defense and say, well, prove that you can beat us running the ball or with, you know, Austin and Thielen and this group of number three and number four wide receivers, run the ball, like just shove it down their throat. Like if they want to make it that kind of game, and you've seen what Warren and Gainwell can do. I think both of them have shown that if you just continue to chip away, eventually you're going to break one. That's I think the key on offense. Not to say you take the ball out of Aaron Rodgers' hands, but lean into the run game. I know I've said that multiple times this year, but lean into the run game, force the Ravens to drop some guys into coverage, and now you've got a good 1-2 punch on offense. I don't know if they'll do that or not.
Yeah, I mean, not only the run game, but the extension of the run game with Gainwell. He has 68 catches for a reason. And a lot of those catches are just glorified runs, you know, get it out in space quickly and let him do his thing, which he wasn't able to do or didn't try to do or weren't able to do or weren't interested in doing last week at all. And I think that hurt them significantly. So I would imagine you're going to get a big, big dose of Kenny Gainwell with the quick throws and see if he can make some plays. That's significant. I mean, you get them into, you know, second and fours, third and threes, then you don't have a, what were they, 4 of 18 or 4 of 15 last week in third down conversions. You don't have
maybe
that
we're
problem.
Not running fades to Scotty Miller on 4th and 1. Hopefully. Which I still
he was open. It was a terrible throw, right? It was open. I mean, it was not a good throw and probably not a good decision. I would have just ran it and with the tushy.
Yeah, that's what I
thought. We talked about that. I mean, Darnell was out. They didn't know what to do. I don't think they changed their minds.
But, like, a big part of what went wrong with the offense last week against Cleveland, and it's gone wrong a few times this year, isn't just Rodgers not having a good game or Rodgers being off. It's trying to get too cute at times and getting away from what's working.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Worked for this team. And what's worked is, you know what? If you're going to throw short, let's swing it out to Gainwell, see what happens. Let's work the tight ends just a little bit. Now, I know Washington's out, but Freiermuth and Jonnu Smith, you've still got two really good tight ends you can move the ball to. And let's back these linebackers up a little bit and see if it doesn't open some lanes for the running game. And then conversely, once we hit a few on the ground, they start to stack the box, and then we take the deep shots. And trying to get too cute and do things out of sequence, I think, is a lot of what led to the problem in Cleveland and what's led to problems a couple of times this year when the offense has stalled out.
Yeah. I mean, let's just not overestimate the talent of the Baltimore Ravens. Even though they won that, it was 5 in a row to get back in it, they didn't play well at all in those games, other than maybe Chicago. I think they played well. But the Minnesota, Cleveland, the Jets games, they stunk. They got whipped by the Bengals, beat by the Steelers. So it's not like this is the Baltimore team that we've seen from years past coming in here, or them going there of 13-4 Super Bowl contenders. This is a very flawed team, just like the Steelers are flawed. So, I mean, I think we might be overestimating maybe what Baltimore can do based off of, what, 4 quarters last week and a quarter or two in New England?
Based on whether they actually lean into Derrick Henry or not, I think is a big part of it. If they lean into Derrick Henry in the run game, and that is churning out consistent yardage for them, and you get in their offense is getting into those third and manageable situations, well, then it gets to who are you guarding against? Are you guarding against Derrick Henry, or are you guarding against Lamar Jackson on 3rd and 4, for example, 3rd and 3? Now the Steelers defense is caught in a bad spot. And if they can keep the Ravens out of those third and manageable situations, then I think, like you said before, it opens the door to, you know, maybe Lamar looks like Lamar does against the Steelers, which is not good. He's got more interceptions to touchdowns in his 9 games against the Steelers. And maybe they force him into some turnovers. That's probably, look, turnovers are key in every game. But that's low-key probably the most important part of Sunday night is, can they force Lamar Jackson to look human against them once again? Like, that's – if they force Lamar to look like Lamar against the Steelers usually looks, and he turns the ball over once or twice, and the Steelers' defense is not shutting down the run, slowing down the run game, then, yeah, it's totally realistic that they could win the game Sunday night.
You know, I mean, I think they're going to – really bottle up Henry. I really have this feeling. I mean, it's not like Henry has had great games against the Steelers over his career. I think he's played, what, six games, and you minus that one, no, maybe more than six, right? Did he have how much did he have last year in the playoff game? 6 regular season games. I guess
it was over 200, wasn't it?
Well, I guess you can take – well, put it this way. Just take away 2024. When he went like 199 and 162, he's only allowed you know, 65 yards, 76 yards, 75 yards, 94 yards. So I think maybe last year, I mean, they were banged up late last year, and we know a lot of things that happened in that December, what was it, December 21st game, then the January mm-hmm. playoff game. So if they don't come in here, you know, with a flame lit under their rear end of stopping Derrick Henry, they deserve to lose.
Yeah.
I think they will. I think they will. I think they are really, really hell-bent on stopping him. And if Lamar can pull his rear end off the turf, put some Bengay on his back and put an extra heating pad on there and get out there and make some plays, then okay, we lost that way. I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
but that's you got to stop the big guy. You got to stop the big guy, or you have no chance.
Yeah. Thanks to Archie, by the way, for supporting the show. Archie's on Carson, Pittsburgh's best place for food, drinks, and sports. If you're not going to the game on Sunday night, get down to Archie's really at any point this weekend. Stop down. Mm. You know, Monday through Thursdays, they got 80-cent wing nights, but every weekend they got great drink specials as well. Fantastic food, not just the wings, sandwiches, burgers, flatbread pizzas too. The Iron and IC Light and the Mango are always ice cold. So the next best place to be if you're not going to be at Heinz Field on Sunday night is Archie's on Carson down on the south side. We appreciate him supporting the show. Not to get too much cart ahead of the horse here, which we did the other day, but
Nerf
ball. Which ball is that? Is that? Is that like a kid's ball, like a squishy ball?
It's very soft. I don't remember. I mean, very slippery. I don't remember my Nerf balls being this slippery. Mm. I don't remember my balls being this slippery.
Whoa. Old slippy balls Kabali.
Mute that sucker.
What? There are three possible opponents the winner of Sunday night's game could face in the first round in the super wild card round of the playoffs.
They still call it super?
Don't they? I just assume because they still spread it all the way out through Monday night that it's super.
I thought that was a one-day thing. Then they realized.
It sounded dumb?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe I'm wrong.
There's high probability that one of us is wrong. That's just the way the show goes.
Hey, I haven't had any technical difficulties yet.
Way to speak it into existence. I'm sure we'll get some over the back half of the show. Jacksonville is still an outside possibility. They would have to lose to Tennessee, not likely. Houston, most likely opponent, because even if they win, a win keeps them alive for the AFC South Division title, but only if Jacksonville loses. So most likely Houston is the 5 seed. Still an outside chance that if Houston wins and Jacksonville loses, maybe Buffalo is the 5th seed. There's a whole bunch of scenarios.
I didn't think Buffalo could play them. I thought the only three teams were Jacksonville, Chargers, and Texans.
I think the Chargers are out of the mix, I believe. Look, this is why, you know, neither one of us is totally up on all the scenarios.
But I think I'm right. I don't think they can play. They can't play, obviously, Denver and New England.
No.
They can't play whoever wins the South.
All right. You're going to make me look it up here, and I'll make sure we have.
I'm pretty sure that's what it is.
No, that's fine. I'm not saying you're definitely wrong. It's entirely likely I could be wrong,
too. I don't think Buffalo can come here. It could be Jacksonville, unlikely. It's more likely the Texans or the Chargers, I think.
I'm going to look it up, and we'll make sure we have it right by the end of the show. But if we have a friend to help us with some expertise from behind enemy lines, we should probably bring them in to talk about what's going on behind enemy lines. We had them on a couple weeks ago when the Steelers played the Ravens the first time. Lucky enough to have our good friend Jeremy Kahn from 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore with us again for the AFC North Championship game. Jeremy. Look at
this. I get to be the meat in the middle of this delicious sandwich right here.
That's a disturbing visual.
Nobody ever referred to me as not the meat.
Kabali was just talking about how slippery his balls are. So
his ball is very slippery.
We've gotten really disturbing really quickly here, but you know, why not do it? For the first show of the year and the last one of the regular season, why not?
It was disturbing watching 2-8-8 teams battle for a division title. That's disturbing.
Yeah, well, that's where we're at. Welcome to the AFC North. How are people looking at this down in Baltimore, Jeremy? Like, I know there's a lot of unrest about Harbaugh and whether Lamar and Harbaugh are getting along, and Lamar scoffed at that the other day, and rumors of Lamar and Derrick Henry not getting along. And there's all kinds. This is what happens when your season isn't going as well as people is expected it to. All the rumors bubble to the surface. Everything's on the table if the season doesn't go the way you want it to, and it ends disappointingly without going to the playoffs.
Yeah, it's such a weird year because I think we would all agree, and we're not thrilled with our teams, but if they got in, it's like, are we – look at the teams that we play. I mean, everybody kind of has their own issues. Or it's teams that are good like Denver and New England, and you're not sure whether or not this is for real. But I'd say this, like here in town, I do think there is kind of a discontent between Harbaugh and Lamar. Just had somebody on my show that does like a lot of player shows in the area. I think he kind of slipped up and said, yeah, I only think one of them's coming back next year. So maybe there is something to that. Yeah. I mean, if they win this, look, if they put it all together and make some crazy ass run and win the Super Bowl, all bets are off. I don't know what happens even if they get in and win a playoff game. But yeah, this has been the weirdest NFL season I think I've ever covered. And I've been doing this for 26 years.
So Jeremy, like you said, only one's coming back potentially. Would it be the 63-year-old coach or the 2-time MVP?
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I sure hope the hell not. It's not the coach. I mean, I've been talking about this for so long, and now people are finally starting to see it. It's like he tells you the same thing after every loss, and they don't change anything.
Oh, my goodness. That sounds familiar.
Where have we heard that before?
See if I can add to it. He's terrible at clock management. You know, like, what is it sometimes when you're watching these games going? Like, he literally said after the Steelers loss, or I'm sorry, the Patriots loss, it was only 6 plays. It's like, you don't give Derrick Henry the ball back after his last run was a 22-yard touchdown run. So you look at it this week, and everybody's like, oh, is Derrick Henry going to get 25 carries this week? Are they going to keep feeding him? And I think game flow depends on all of that, but – with that being said, I know the Steelers got healthy on the D-line, so I think this ends up being a really good game for two teams that aren't happy with how the season's gone.
Yeah, what do you think the level of commitment? I know you said game flow will dictate a lot of whether they continue to feed Henry, and assuming, you know, if it's not going well early, maybe they pivot more in Lamar's direction. But what is the feeling about Lamar's, I guess, I wouldn't call it Steelers' kryptonite, but you know, he's played him 9 times. He's lost 6 of them. He's got 10 interceptions to 9 touchdowns in those games. Do they necessarily feel comfortable, especially with him being less than 100%, coming into Pittsburgh on a Sunday night and saying, hey, if the Steelers are shutting down Henry, we're putting it on Lamar's shoulders?
Yeah, and again, like I think you see Lamar maybe run a little bit more in this because they got to get him to respect the read option. If not, they're just going to sit there on Henry. But the fact that now he is playing, we can't talk about it because we had that nonsensical crap all week long. It's like, hey, should they start Tyler Huntley? Only if they have to. If Lamar shows up and he's missing legs and arms, then start Tyler Huntley. Like, it's not – the guy threw for 100 yards and people are going, hey, you can run that similar style of offense if you want and just feed the beast. But if you want to push the ball downfield, if you fall behind, you have no thought whatsoever that Huntley's going to bring you back. Now, the one thing you said, and you're right, the Steelers have been Lamar's kryptonite because everywhere you look, he's dominated everybody else, the NFC, the Bengals. I mean, everybody dominates the Browns, so we'll throw them out. But, you know,
Jeremy, not everybody. Hold on there, pal.
I just said Munson to Munson, man. I'm sorry. Yeah, man, sorry. That's just rough. No, but like in all seriousness, he's had that type of success. And whatever it is about the Steelers' defense, Tomlin, that group coming together, whatever he sees in him, because I know he praises the hell out of them. And in the game, they beat the crap out of him. So we shall see. But he is going to play. And I think it does bump the passing game, but we'll see what the running game looks like.
I don't know if you heard this, Jeremy, but DK Metcalf's not playing. And if you saw those receivers of the Steelers last week, it was not pretty. So what I'm saying is How is the Ravens secondary? Are they better than we think they are? I mean, is Hamilton make up for a lot of stuff? Is he 100%? Is Humphrey, I know, has been playing a little bit better recently, but how do you view the secondary here of the Ravens?
Well, I've seen a lot of the back of Humphrey's jersey, especially going back to that Steelers game. I got to admit, look, I'm not a Baltimore homer by any stretch. I try to call it like I see it. I hate what happened to DK Metcalf, especially the last two games where it's so important. Even if you're looking back at it, if you wanted to give him, I understand you got to make an example out of somebody, suspend him next year, say we're going through the legalities of it, but this is just, it sucks. And when I look at the ghost of Adam Thielen and MVS, and I'm not even sure if he has hands. I mean, I watch him run routes, but I don't see him catch much. I think if you guys are going to stay in this game, it's going to have to be kind of a grouping of the running backs and the tight ends making something happen. And I shouldn't say if you guys are going to stay in the game. I think the game's closed regardless. But I think that's how you're going to have to make some headway, maybe some penalties. But the Ravens secondary can be had. I just don't know if you guys have the weapons to do it.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
You forgot Scotty Miller, by the way.
Oh, yeah. My bad. I forgot about him. He's still in the league, man. That's great.
You didn't disrespect Scotty Miller. I don't think you mentioned Roman Wilson either, who got 9 snaps last week. Come on.
What about a Mac? The guy from Baltimore says we need to use tight ends and running backs more. almost sounds like what we've been saying for the past whenever.
Right. That's the thing, Jeremy, is like both of these teams are such mirror images of each other in a lot of different ways. I mean, there are distinct differences, obviously, at quarterback and, you know, but like they're the way their seasons have played out, I think, are so similar. Other than, okay, the Steelers got off to a decent start, 3-1. Ravens started 1-5. But in that, I don't think either fan base, even the fan base of the team that wins Sunday night, is going to walk away fully satisfied because, in all likelihood, we're talking a playoff game against, like, the Texans or, you know, and probably not a very deep playoff run. And, you know, both fan bases yelling about their tenured head coaches need to go. And there's just so much unrest that it feels like the winner of this game really isn't necessarily a winner. It's just prolonging the agony for another week.
Yeah. I mean, that's probably the right answer there, that yes, they get in and it's like, oh, here come the Texans. Hey, see you guys later. Where are you guys going now? You're going to play who? That's probably how a lot of people feel. So, you know, it's funny. You talk about the mirror image of each other. The one difference I see, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like the Ravens front office has given this team talent, like talent after talent in each draft, finding premier players that can come in and have an impact, where that's why we look at Harbaugh and go, hey, man, what are you going to do with all this talent? I mean, you guys won the triple crown on defense when Mike McDonald's here. He leaves, and then the defense falls apart. How? It's the same group. It's the same players. You know, so I just feel like looking at the teams and how they're constructed is something where I look at Harbaugh and go, yeah, man, this guy has done less with more than most coaches in this league. That being said, I don't have any confidence going into this game. Like, do I think the Ravens win? Yes, I think they win a close one, which I know we'll get to. But what does it mean in the grand scheme of things? Because I think both of these teams have a chance where they win and get to the postseason or lose and miss, and then their coach is still there. I don't know how you guys feel. That's how I feel.
I'm just curious, how with Harbaugh, how much is he involved in game planning, or is he just like a figurehead that oversees everything? And if Derrick Henry's not getting the ball for, you know, 2-3 straight drives, does he say, hey, get him the ball? I mean, what is his role game days of being able to prevent something like that?
I think just he's there to screw things up. So that's what I think. I mean, look, no, he's not involved with it. Like the other day after we talked about that fourth quarter against the Patriots, you're up 11 points and you're whatever, you're up double digits, you think you're winning the game. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, where's Derrick Henry? And where's Derrick? And you keep asking these questions. And literally after the game, he talked about the running backs coach. It was up to him to who was going in the game. You're the head coach. If only we had somebody that could say no. Nay, that guy's not going in the game. This guy is. Like, are you serious? That's what you tell us? Like, don't say the quiet part out loud then. So, I mean, that's where I just wonder, like, what does he do? I think he's a supervisor.
He's the guy in Office Space. I told you. Yeah. I talk to the goddamn people.
I'm a people person. I take this and I go to them. I'm the between guy.
I make sure they get the orders.
I've never watched Office Space, but go ahead.
Oh, what the hell? You've watched every season of Cobra Kai 7 times.
Yeah,
you haven't made time for Office Space.
What's your point? I watched Braveheart. I watched Braveheart the other night again.
Did you watch the basic cable version of Braveheart? Or
Netflix. It was on Netflix.
Okay. All right.
It was under my suggestion. So I'm like, well, why the hell not?
I think I've seen Braveheart 1,000 times. When I went to my former co-host and I, we went to Arizona for the New England Giants Super Bowl, where New England was undefeated and the Giants knocked them off in Arizona. I'm pretty sure we got drunk at Hooters every night and watched Braveheart going to bed every single night. So do with that what you will.
And as Longshanks would say, if we can't get them out, we'll breed them out.
The problem with Scotland is it's full of Scots. My favorite line.
Who is this man that speaks to me as if I give as if I care about his opinion?
Yeah, it was his brother, his son.
Yeah.
His son's boyfriend, whatever. Yeah.
Friend. So what is the future for the Ravens? Like, you made the point that somebody slipped up in talking to your guys' show earlier this week, Jeremy. I think only one of them's going to be back next year. Assuming whether it's a loss to the Steelers Sunday night or a loss at home to the Texans in a week, you know, when the season does end, how do you think it plays out for John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, Derrick Henry maybe as well, and the Ravens organization moving forward? Because it seems like they are still close enough where when you've got an MVP caliber quarterback, it shouldn't be hard to reset on the fly and immediately jump back into being a division contending team and a team that can contend to go back to the Super Bowl again.
Yeah, I'd say this though too, like looking at the Lamar situation and wondering what happens next year and who's back. Like, I think we should just sit down and ask Lamar. I mean, he's due $70 million. He's got a full no trade clause. He can't be franchised. So he has everything. And if we were all giving his mom a hard time for being his agent, and they did a hell of a job on his contract. So he basically holds all the cards. And if he wants to, he could sit here. If he doesn't want Harbaugh to be the coach next year, he can put that in Bisciotti's ear. And if Bisciotti doesn't flinch to that or say, okay, we'll move on, or we're going to ride this out, then he can ride out all of next year with $70 million on the cap. And then so be it. Hit free agency and go wherever the hell he wants. He's said everything that he needs to say. I don't feel like this has been a Russell Wilson situation. Like, I don't want to be traded, but if you did, I'd like to go to these 5 teams. You know, like, I don't think it's that. But I do think there's a discontent between him and Harbaugh, and that's kind of showed this year, and it's actually come out through the media a little bit. So we'll see. But I would fully expect that Lamar would be the guy back, not the 63-year-old who likes to work out in the morning.
And put it on the internet, right? One more thing about Henry. If Steelers able to keep him in check, relatively speaking, 70, 80 yards, 14, 15 carries, do you think Lamar is capable of leading this team to a win when he hasn't really played well? He's coming off an injury and missed a couple games. Do you think Lamar still can pull this out on his own?
I think he can, but this is probably the most I've ever questioned it, you know, like, because it's what I've seen from him. I was a guy initially in year one. I didn't want them to draft him. I watched year one and said, we ain't running the option for the next 10 years, are we? And then as soon as you come out in year two and you watch the work he put in, if you didn't look at that and say, oh my God, they actually have something that's really good. They just need to allow him to open things up and not Greg Roman to call the play call in 10 seconds before they're supposed to snap it, so he can't change it. And now, like, watching the offense under Todd Monken kind of expand, I feel like he can do all those things. But this has been one of the weirdest years watching him play, because if he does have something that's still barking, it doesn't look like he's stepping into his throws. It's that back foot kind of fling it and hope it gets there. And he's had some just god-awful passes where it's like, that's 10 feet over the receiver's head. That was 5 feet short of where he wanted to go with it. And I feel like, too, he's been in those in-between. Do I want to run, or do I want to take a chance at the deep pass? And I think this week you might see him run a little bit more.
I think he did play pretty well against the Steelers a month ago, Lamar. He made some nice throws, right? If I recall.
I mean, he still has the ability. Like, even if I go back to, what was it, the game with Likely when he fumbles into the end zone going in, and, you know, Zay has the pass interference call. You start looking at all those things, like, that could have went in their favor very easily. Those are two goofy, stupid things that happen. And I don't know what a catch is anymore or what pass interference is, but they called that one. So I do think there are, in the context of the game, if you're looking at it, there are some things that have happened that I would just label as goofy, but I got to be honest, it seems like they happen too often here in Baltimore.
Yeah, and it seems like Lamar is, like we talked about earlier, a little more turnover prone against the Steelers over the years. We'll see if that's the case on Sunday night or not. Before we let you run, Jeremy, I know you alluded to it already, but give us a prediction, a winner and a final score for Sunday night Steelers-Ravens.
Yeah, I said 20-17 Ravens. That means take the Steelers plus the 3 in the hook if you can get it. But but yeah, I just think we get one of these ugly games. And I think it's hilarious that we come down to the last week of the season. There's only two playoff spots open for two horrible-ass teams from divisions that nobody cares about. Carolina and Tampa Bay and Baltimore and Pittsburgh right now. And I can't even believe I'm saying that about our division. But this has just been horrendous. So if you guys get in, good luck. If we get in, we'll see what happens.
I sort of cussed a little bit when I found out it was a Sunday night game. I thought they were going to throw the Niners and Seahawks on that Sunday night game. I was not happy.
You know, the other thing that I think happens, I think the winner of this game probably gets the Monday night home football game.
Oh, Steelers are 150-0 on Monday night under Mike Tomlin, right?
That's true. They don't lose at home on Monday nights under Mike Tomlin. So we'll take that, I guess. We'll take all the hidden vigorish we can get. If it means actually winning a playoff game for the Pittsburgh Steelers for the first time in nearly a decade. Jeremy, thanks for the time, my friend. We appreciate it as always. We'll catch up soon. And same back to you. If for some reason, or if the Ravens win this one, good luck going into the playoffs.
Chris, I love you. Always have. All right. I'll see you guys.
Always have. Jeremy Kahn of 105.7.
You want to tell me something here, Mac? What the hell's going on here?
What? Yeah. People like me. I can't help it. People don't like you. They like me.
Oh, well, I saw a picture on the internet the other day of you looking like a...
What? What was? What picture?
What picture? Like I didn't send it to you, too.
What, the Jack Nicholson one?
You know where I found that at?
Where?
I was snooping to see if Relax Styles was still living and when his last tweet was. And all of a sudden that photo popped up from like March. I was like, what? Yeah, his sentence should be over by now, right? 12 to 16 months.
We don't even know what happened. I don't know if it's prison. We don't know. See, you're allowed internet usage in prison, aren't you? Or in jail?
Maybe he's, I don't know. He's up and varnished like a fart in the wind.
Varnished like a fat in the wind.
What? We can't get them out. We'll breed them out.
All right, so I looked it up while we were talking to Jeremy.
Prima nocta. Go ahead.
And I have the percentages of who could finish in the 5 seed, but first I want to thank our friends from Impact HVAC for supporting the show. They're fantastic. You need something done with your furnace while it's cold out this winter. They will come take care of you. Just message them at Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook or give them a call, 412-297-1852. They're happy to help yins. Is everything okay over there? Because I know you were talking about temperature gradients between the upstairs and the downstairs. Kaboom.
Yeah, downstairs it's like icicles forming, and upstairs it's cold.
You know what you need to do? And Tony from Impact will explain this to you when he comes over. You got to mess with the dampers a little bit.
I know the damper, but I'm not a damper guy. What am I going to do? A little damper run upstairs? Is it blowing? I mean, I'm not a damper guy.
That's what you have to do. Or you have your wife go upstairs and you guys get on the phone with each other. You'd be like, hey, I just flipped this switch. Tell me, is the air coming out of the vent or not? You know?
I'm not good at that shit.
Because in the wintertime, you want to kind of, you know, tighten up on the air that's going upstairs because air is going to rise anyway.
This is hot air is going to rise. This is 2026. We should just have like an app for this, not any dampers.
You need an app.
An app.
Be a man. Play with your dampers.
Yeah, I'm sure you even know where your damper is.
Yeah, I adjust them twice every year. Once when it starts to get warm out in the spring, I adjust them so that.
Do you put a little mark? Do you put a little mark? You put a little mark? You put a little mark?
I've summer, used a Sharpie and I've spring, marked. Yes.
Summer, winter.
Yes.
I'm not good at that.
I mean, I'm not really handy at all, but there are a couple things that I've learned how to do. And the friends at Impact HVAC actually helped teach me the damper thing.
Rick Barry from 5031 should have called Impact HVAC.
What's going on with Rick's place? Furnace went out Christmas Eve night. Oh, no.
Damn, Santy got caught in the old fireplace.
Wait, somebody's furnace? This person says their 50-year-old furnace has an auto damper.
Yeah, so I told you.
How's that work?
I don't know.
Our cheap-ass houses don't have that. So here are the percentages on who can end up as the 5 seed. Are you ready? I looked it up. This is from NFL Next Gen Stats. The Houston Texans have a 68% probability of being the 5 seed. The Buffalo Bills have a 21% chance of being the 5 seed. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a 6% chance. And the LA Chargers have a 5% chance. So, the scenarios involved, I would have to cook up here, but let me make sure I find it. So you know what to root for, right? Because who do you think the best matchup is for the Steelers in the first round out of those four teams?
It doesn't matter.
Damn it. You were going to do that.
What matters? I mean, what's the hell's difference between Buffalo, Houston, and who else?
Houston's defense has absolutely been wrecking shop. James Cook went for 200 yards last time he was in Pittsburgh. Jacksonville, I do not trust to go north and play in the cold. And I think the Chargers beating the Steelers a couple months ago was a bit of an anomaly because Aaron Rodgers had his worst game of the year. So there you go. I'd much rather have Jacksonville or the Chargers than Buffalo or Houston.
Well, we're acting like Houston has an offense.
They have enough of one. Yeah. Well, do you trust the Steelers, even with DK Metcalf back, to be able to score more than 20 on the Houston defense and Aaron Rodgers not get murdered?
I think they could. Why not? If 8-4 is back, why not? If I had my choice, I would probably say Jacksonville because that's still not a big believer in them, but the Chargers as well. I mean, Houston's a Southern team that plays in a dome.
Yeah, but they don't. I don't know. I don't feel like
anybody but Buffalo. You're saying?
No. I don't like the idea of playing Houston either. But if I have to choose between the Texans or the Bills, I'd rather face the Texans. I guess. I wouldn't be excited by either one though. So here are the different outcomes that get us at each spot. Okay, if the Bills win and get losses from Jacksonville and the Chargers, they will be the 5 seed. Or they can win and get a Texans loss and a Chargers loss and also be the 5 seed. Let's see. What was the one that we were more excited about? Oh, Houston becomes the 5 seed with a win and a Jags Houston win.
Houston Oilers.
Love you, Blue. Or if the
Miami Dolphins,
if the Texans lose and the Bills and Chargers also lose, that could put the Texans in the 5 seed. Not likely, but the Chargers could be the 5 seed if they win and the Texans lose. There's a million different scenarios. I don't know why I'm reading them all off. It's boring me just reading them right now.
Well, we know who they can't play.
Right. They can't play New England. They can't play Denver.
And they're likely not to play the Chargers.
Likely not to play Jacksonville either, really. Most likely Houston, maybe Buffalo. Like I said earlier, we came all the way back around to where we were. How about that?
How about they play nobody? How about they play clean out the lockers on Monday?
Man, that's going to be bad. That's going to be bad. Because immediately, look, we started this show a year ago as soon as the season was over. And so we know all about off-season talk and where it's going to go and the different directions. The first wave of everything is going to be Tomlin's future. Then the second wave, once that gets decided, is going to be quarterback future. And then when and if that gets decided, it's going to be which quarterback is it if it's not Rodgers? I mean, what about the defense? Hayward, does he play anymore? There's a lot of different directions to go when we arrive at the offseason. And you're right. It could be as early as like midnight on Sunday.
I mean, you got a lot of different options. I mean, Jalen Ramsey back. It's Jonnu Smith back. I know they're under contract, but that doesn't mean anything. I mean, they could totally reset people like that. I mean, it's up to you to trade Freiermuth. That would probably be the time to do that.
I don't think. Yeah. I mean, if I were Pat Freiermuth and I were really upset about that, which I wouldn't blame
him. They're not trading him.
I mean,
the thing is, he means too much to the organization other than when it comes to throwing the ball to him.
Other than on game days. Right. He's really
forget
what we want to do as an organization, just not on Sundays between.
Don't forget about the defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
His contract, I believe, is up.
But you're 110% guaranteeing that Mike Tomlin will be back.
Yep.
Correct?
I don't see why not.
You don't see an avenue for him to sort of somewhat gracefully exit to do TV for a year or two? Or
first of all, I don't even think he'd be any good at TV.
Oh, I think he would.
I don't think he would.
Why?
I think, well, he just speaks in goofy sayings. He doesn't really say anything.
I mean, have you watched Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and Jimmy Johnson and Rob Gronkowski lately?
Do you really? I mean, he won't tell if we see Aaron Rodgers break his leg and it just detaches from his body, he'll be like, oh, well, we're evaluating him. I don't see him changing any way he goes on to TV and criticize. And you have to criticize on TV. You just can't be, you know, peaches and cream all the time. So I don't know. But the money is quite interesting. So
yeah, there's a lot of it.
I mean, hey, guys, work one day a week and we'll pay you what?
Yeah.
Oh, this ain't bad.
He'd go off and make twice as much as he does coaching.
Yeah, he could do that, but I just don't think he'd be any good.
Well, there's also the option of, does he leave and do they mutually decide to part ways? And he just goes somewhere else.
Yeah, here's the thing with Tomlin. He is just so deep into this. This has been his life forever. And it's just not coaching. It's mm-hmm. the scouting. It's the personnel. It's the draft. It's everything of putting together a team. And just to cut that off and say, okay, I'm going to work one day a week. Man, he's going to be picking his butt and looking around and saying, now what am I going to do the whole year? Am I going to go to my boat in Virginia and just hang out for a week? Gets like a week of vacation a year. I just don't view him as at that stage in his life yet, which you just interact. You see how he interacts and how he goes about his business. I don't think he is wore out.
Okay.
He's going to get bored very quickly.
I think if there were ever a time where he might look at the idea of maybe I need a fresh start, this would be it. Now, maybe I'm totally wrong. You're closer to the situation than I am. So maybe I'm just talking shit on my ass.
I don't think a fresh start means anything to him. I think being at one organization for 20 years plus means more to him. It's just my opinion.
And you may be totally right. But and look, if I had the job of being the Pittsburgh Steelers head coach, regardless of what the results were, I would know that as long as I didn't totally screw it up, I was going to continue to have the job. And there's something to be said for job security when you're making $10 million a year or whatever it is.
18, something like that. He's top five, I think.
So, look, there's something to be said for that. I just wonder, at a certain point, does he get tired? And I know none of the noise is in the building, but if he gets tired of the noise and says, you know what, it'd be nice to be someplace where I'm appreciated. He might look at it that way.
I don't think he knows he's not appreciated.
Oh, he'd have to be deaf, dumb, and blind to not know that when people are chanting "Fire Tomlin" in the middle of a primetime game at home, that people aren't dissatisfied with the job.
He didn't know Philip Rivers was coming back. No idea what you're talking about.
That's different. That's something outside of his purview.
He didn't.
You know what I mean? Anyway,
I don't think he pays attention to a lot of that stuff. I don't know. I don't think he moves on. Now, do they pick up his option? I don't think so. No, I think Mike. I think Art would be worried about the. This is if they lose, of course. I don't think Art wants that. That thought of him letting his head coach slide by. So even though he's like, "Hey, Mike, don't worry, we're going to take care of this. You got my word for it. But I'm not picking it up right now. Don't worry about it. It's just for public consumption, so to speak." I could see that happening. But do you trust him? You should trust him. My God, he gave you 20 years. I just don't think they would pick it up. If they do, Art opens himself up for massive criticism.
Yeah.
If they lose two out of their last, you know, two games to division rivals.
What about the idea? This is interesting. Justin, don't call me Justine. Floats an idea of, you know, Tomlin and Rooney come to an agreement that, like you said, there's one more year on the deal, and then he'll step away. You know, this is all decided behind the scenes. Nothing is announced, obviously. They're not going to let Tomlin go into a season telling the world that it would be his last year. But then the idea of bringing Brian Flores back and letting him be sort of head coach in waiting.
The last two, or at least offensive coordinators I know, or even defensive coordinator with Austin, they did that. They had the guy in waiting, basically a two-year internship to be able to see if they were comfortable with him taking over that position. And it happened with Austin. It happened with Canada. Who was beforehand? It happened with Fichtner to a degree, I guess, too. I don't know. I mean, is Brian Flores a good head coach, or is he a good defensive coordinator?
I think that's a great question. I mean,
does he still have legal ramifications with the league? I am unsure of that. I don't know.
I don't know. I just thought it was an interesting theory. That Justin, not Justy, just
why wouldn't anybody else want him?
Maybe because the rest of the league looks at Flores as a guy, like you said, who's a great coordinator, but not a great head coach. Maybe they look at it as, you got your opportunity and you didn't do much with it. I don't know. I would be curious to see when the time comes, where they would go, who would lead the search, who else would be involved in the search. And to your point, we may still be at least a year, if not multiple years away from this, but what it looks like. And I guess what, organizationally, things look like from top to bottom, but we've got plenty of time to speculate about that stuff once the season's over.
Yeah, they're going to the Super Bowl, so it doesn't really matter.
Hey, if they get to the Super Bowl, Darnell Washington will be eligible to come off the IR, so there's that.
Darnell Washington.
Darnell. Let's make picks for this week, and then we'll wrap it up and get ready for Sunday night. You are 129-92-1. I am 135-85-1. So I think that adds up correctly. That adds up correctly. 6, 7 plus 6.
Remember.
I'm 136-85-1.
See, he just gave himself more wins.
No, because I didn't do the math right on last week's.
Remember, I'm a champ. I'm a national champ.
I know. We're all very proud of you, too. I want to make sure that 210, 221, 222. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So whether you believe that I'm rigging the numbers or not, we're still going to make picks. Are you ready?
Yep.
All right. Carolina, Tampa Bay for the NFC South division title. Maybe, unless Atlanta beats New Orleans and Tampa beats Carolina, and then none of it really matters.
By the way, did you see, I happened to run across our picks for this playoffs. I don't know if I want to go over those.
Maybe we don't put those back out there. Although, in the interest of full disclosure, we should probably, you know, we should probably let people
know.
The Raiders in the playoffs.
Don't be laughing there, old.
What? What was my worst prediction?
I don't know where it's at right now, but
Where it's at now. I can't find it.
Yeah,
you had the Raiders and the Colts in the playoffs.
Well, the Colts look good for three quarters of the year. Mm. I'm sure you didn't have the Panthers in there.
Hold on, I'm going to look it up. I actually am not doing bad at all.
Oh, baloney.
I had the Ravens as the one seed.
There's a garbage one.
I had Buffalo in. I had the Chiefs in, but everybody did. Had the Texans, the Steelers, the Broncos, and the Chargers. So I am not that far off.
Wow, now, you picked the Chargers. Yay.
I had Detroit as the one seed in the NFC too. But so did you. So let's not pretend like
Kansas City is the one seed.
In the AFC, yeah. You had the Lions beating the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I had the Lions beating the Bills. So,
well,
yeah.
I had the Steelers beating the Ravens in the first round of the playoffs. So this is AFC North. So that should count for something.
That should count for something. But you did have the Raiders in the playoffs.
Buffalo, Vegas. I can't wait for that game.
You had the Vikings in the playoffs. You had the Cowboys in the playoffs. Yeesh. We both had Philly as the two seed, and they'll probably be the three seed, so we weren't far off there.
My Super Bowl didn't even make the playoffs.
Nope, your Super Bowl didn't make the playoffs, and yeah, three quarters of your Final Four might not make the playoffs, too. So, all right, picks for this week, though. Carolina, Tampa Bay.
Carolina. Tampa's just Baker. I don't know what happened to him. MVP Baker.
He fell apart, man. I'm actually going to go with Carolina as well.
Oh, you see what he does there?
No, I'm not doing it to play the game. I honestly think Carolina's going to win.
Why don't you pick first then?
Okay, you want me to pick first?
Yes.
Okay, I'll pick first then. Seattle, San Francisco. I don't trust Sam Darnold as far as I can throw him. And with my bad back, I shouldn't be throwing anybody. So I'll take San Francisco to win and get the one seed.
I take Seattle.
Okay. Indy and Houston, Riley Leonard getting the start for the Colts. Phillip Rivers has walked off into the sunset after a 2-week return, 3-week return, whatever
smart
it was.
Man. Very smart man.
Texans win. They've still got a chance, as remote as it may be, to win the AFC South. Houston over the Colts. I got the Texans.
I take Houston. Did you see Rivers reset the clock on his insurance out from the league now, so he still gets, you know, you only get like covered by the NFL's insurance up to, I think, 5 years.
Okay,
he's back. So
oh, that's pretty smart, actually.
When you have 106 kids, yes. Yeah.
You got that many kids to insure. Cut down on them copays. All right, Cowboys Giants, meaningless game except for the fact that I think the Giants still have a chance to win the number one overall draft pick. So I'll take the Cowboys.
You know what? These week 18 games are weird. I'll go with the Giants.
Wow. Okay.
They're weird. You throw everything out the window.
Throw it all out. Browns, Bengals in Cincinnati. I can't see the Browns winning two games in a row. I'll take the Bengals.
Give me the Browns.
Wow. Okay. You're rolling all the dice here. Saints, Falcons. Falcons have a chance to absolutely screw the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here. I don't think it'll matter because we both agree that Carolina is going to win tomorrow afternoon. Nonetheless, I think let me think about this for a second. Yeah, I'll take the Falcons.
Falcons are so up and down.
All right, so
Saints have been playing well. Saints are going to push 500. Where would they be? 7-10.
That will get them to 7-10. Yeah,
not bad. Not bad for a garbage team. Give me the
you
Saints.
You vote for Tyler Shuck for rookie, the offensive rookie of the year.
I don't give votes.
Would you?
No.
Who'd you vote for?
I don't know. I really didn't put any thought into it. It has to be somebody else. Other maybe Manungi from Chicago. I don't know. I'd have to look at the numbers.
Manungi. Offensive rookie of the year. Let's look this up.
Jackson Dart.
Teterrell McMillan. I can't believe we didn't think of him for the Panthers. All right, so you're taking the Saints to beat the Falcons?
Yes.
Okay. Green Bay, Minnesota. Green Bay is locked into the 7 seed and will be starting Clayton Tune at quarterback. The Vikings. I'll take Minnesota.
I'll take the Packers. I like Clayton Tune. He's going to play a nice tune for you. Oh,
sure he is. Tennessee, Jacksonville. Jacksonville still, do they still have an outside shot at the 1 seed, I believe, if everything broke their way? Let me just double check that. Either way, they're going to play to win. Yeah, they've still got an outside shot that if the Dolphins somehow beat the Patriots and the Chargers beat the Broncos, Jacksonville could be the one seed. So I like Jacksonville to win this one.
I think rest might be more important for the Jaguars. Are they going to start Nick Mullins? Is that his name?
No, I think they're going in it to win it.
In it to win it.
Because they could finish in literally any seed. Anything from 1 to 7, they have a possibility of finishing it.
You look at this team. How the hell is this team winning?
Duval.
Wow. I guess they got some decent defensive players. Give me the Jaguars.
Jaggy wires. All right. Arizona and the Rams. The Rams have looked real shaky lately. Okay. You're going to take – you're not even going to let me make a first pick on that one?
Arizona's just – I mean.
They are. They're wow. God-awful. I'll take the Rams also. Chargers and Broncos. The Broncos. Hold on. I'll make sure I check the probabilities on this one.
They're just Yonkos.
A Denver win secures them the number one seed, obviously. A loss opens up the possibility to finishing second or maybe even third. So I like Denver. Aren't the Chargers starting Trey Lance in this game? To get Herbert healthy. Give me Denver.
I'll take the Chargers.
Oh, okay. Trey Lance, huh? Kansas City and the Raiders in a game where I have to believe the Chiefs will try as hard as possible not to win and possibly work their way into something as good as the 8th overall draft pick.
About that, what was that? 6 wins get you in the top 10? Mm-hmm. This would have been the year to go 6-11. Stellars. Raiders are just so bad, but once again, weird things happen on week 18. Raiders. Raiders are going to screw it. You know what? No. Give me the Chiefs because Tom Brady wants Mendoza so freaking bad.
I have an honest question. Is Mendoza that good?
Well, he looked damn good yesterday.
That's what I mean. Like at times he looks like just a baller.
He got a weird personality, it looks like, huh?
Yeah, and I don't know. Like,
I don't care.
Is he just the best of a bad bunch this year and someone's going to way overdraft him? That's what I think. But then sometimes he makes throws like that one to Decker in the back of the end zone. It's like, damn, I don't know how many quarterbacks put that ball there.
Yeah, that's why I think they're doing everything they can possibly do to lose. Max Crosby. The Brock Bowers IR situation. So I think they might give him incentive to lose. So,
all right. We're both on the Chiefs. Dolphins and Patriots. If the Patriots win, they can still secure the one seed. If they lose, that would be absolutely shocking, in my opinion.
Really?
If the Patriots lose to the Dolphins,
you're acting like this is a week 10 game or something. This is. Whatever, take your Patriots.
A chance to win the one seed. Yes, I'll take the Patriots.
Okay, take the Patriots. I'm not.
You're taking the Dolphins. You know what I'm going to do is I'm going to look after we're done with the show and see how your scenarios, what order they put everything in, like who ends up in what seeds. Because you've got absolute chaos theory going on, I think.
Well, no, I have week 18 theory going on.
Okay. Washington and Philly. Philly is essentially locked into the 3 seed, although if they win and Chicago loses to the Lions, they could leapfrog them to the number 2. I don't know if there's much of a difference between 2 and 3 at this point. They're resting Jalen Hurts. Tanner McKee is going to start. I still take Philly.
Washington wow. Commanders.
All right, Lions-Bears. Like I said, the Bears have to win to secure the 2 seed, and I think still have an outside shot. No shot at the 1 seed. Sorry. That's out the window. So I don't know. Most likely the 2. I don't know who's going to play, who's not going to play. I actually like the Lions here.
I like the Bears. Bears.
Jets and Bills in Buffalo. Let's see. let me check the percentages on them. They could finish only in a wild card spot, 5, 6, or 7. Most likely 6, it looks like. I think maybe you get some guys taken out in the second half in this one, and the Bills still win.
Bills and I can't pick against.
Yeah, you can't pick the Jets.
Although I wouldn't be surprised if they did win, but I'll go with the Bills.
The interesting thing here is there is a scenario where that game means nothing for the Bills, where they're already locked into a seed. I forget what it is. But yeah, I don't think they're going to play a lot of guys. Anyway, Ravens, Steelers.
I've probably missed every single Steeler game this year.
I think we both have, yeah.
So saying that, I probably should pick the Steelers to win.
No, you should pick the Ravens to win.
No, start the offseason early.
Oh, wow.
Now, I honestly think the Steelers have a good shot in this game. I really do. I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' last swan song. I don't think it's going to be Mike Tomlin. Questions of maybe I'm just hoping they win because I don't want to hear fire Mike Tomlin for the next 9 months.
Tomlin.
I still think the Steelers will shut down Derrick Henry. I think they have a shot here.
Okay.
It's not like the Ravens are some great team. They're flawed.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback hasn't played in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Give me the Steelers, but obviously I think it's going to be a close one.
Give me a score.
21-20.
Wow. Do we finally get the Boswell walk-off field goal I've been trying to call all year?
No, he's going to have a Mark Andrews drop two-point conversion. But the Steelers tie, they get in too, so they can tie.
That's true. Don't think for a second that if this game goes to overtime, Mike Tomlin will not play for the tie.
Yeah. Oh, it'd be stupid. It'd be like the Chargers Raiders a couple years ago.
Yeah, Brandon Staley screwing up his timeouts.
Raiders like, what? Okay, we'll knock you right out of the playoffs. Here you go, you asshole. Here you go.
I think Baltimore is going to be able to run the ball. Not exceedingly well, because again, Derek Harmon effect, but well enough. I think they won't ask Lamar to do too much. He'll protect the football, and the Steelers offense just has a real hard time getting in the end zone at all. So I'm going to say Baltimore 20-16.
Then you get to the playoffs and DK's back. I may or may not have seen him the other day and working out. So,
well, that's an interesting theory, and we can save this maybe for Sunday night after the game. But the idea that they end up on the Monday night of super wild card weekend.
I don't think the thing is I don't know how they do that, but I think the networks have choices.
Yeah.
And I think Monday night is last on that pecking order. Wouldn't CBS say, boom, we want this?
Yeah, well, but,
you know, that screams. Houston, I think I don't have a bad memory, but I do believe pretty much the majority of the Houston Texans playoff games in that first round have been Saturdays.
Yeah, they have, actually, I think. So they almost always maybe it will be Saturdays.
So they go from a Monday night to a Saturday. I can see that.
Yeah, like the Texans, I don't think are a great rate. Well, but you don't have the usual suspects involved. Like, you don't have the Bengals. You don't have the Chiefs. You don't have, you have Buffalo, but Buffalo's probably going to Jacksonville. Like, we just go based on percentages. Is that
you're acting like nobody's going to watch the game if it's like on a Saturday.
Oh, no, people are going to watch it. It's the NFL.
You know, they're like, oh, they want this network. No, they just want to appease the guys who pay them the most.
So what window do you think it ends up in?
Probably the 8 o'clock Saturday. I would probably – we'd have to see the other matchups.
Yeah.
I mean
– if it's – let me put it this way. If it's Chargers, Patriots, Bills, Jags
– Chargers, Patriots scream like 1 o'clock Sunday, right?
Yeah. And Steelers and Texans Steelers. I think Bills Jags.
Nobody cares.
Yeah. And then the NFC games, I mean, based on percentages, we're talking like a Packers-Bears rematch.
Which would probably be great for Sunday night.
Yep, we're talking Rams-Eagles, most likely. Another rematch from last year's
playoffs. 425 Sunday.
And we're talking Niners-Panthers.
Once again, 1 o'clock, early game on Saturday.
Yeah.
Or
I think we might be ticketed for Monday night, Kabooms.
I don't like
that. If they win, I'm predicting a Ravens win. So we'll see how it goes. All right. Today's show has been way too long. We're going to wrap it up. Kaboom's got to get down to Heinz Field. I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium and talk to TJ Watt. We will be back Sunday night after the game for what will be a thrilling post-game edition of the show, regardless of what happens.
Hate that.
I know. Nobody's excited.
3 in the morning.
But people love it. Okay. So we give the people what they want, all right?
Carol's going to be sleeping, so.
No, she's not. Carol's always. Yeah, see? See you Sunday. Hope we're not depressed. We'll see you Sunday night, early Monday morning, friends. Thanks again for joining us. Thanks to each and every one of our sponsors. Got to thank our good friends as well at Higgins Professional Painting. Getting ready to get over to Kaboom's house and do some work. They'll do it all for you. The drywall repair, any kind of wall covering, interior, exterior painting. Commercial, industrial, they do it all. Yeah. They've been doing it for 40 years in the Pittsburgh area, so trust them to get it done for you. Go to HigginsProfessional.com or give them a call, 412-344-0480. Talk to you in Sunday night. Thanks for joining us here, Uncle Bali and Mac. See you.
Goodbye.